Calling to order the Board of Supervisors business meeting. Today is Thursday, November 20th, 2025. The time is now 6:32. Please rise and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Begin roll call, beginning with my right.
Greg Phillips.
Tina Garzillo.
Carol Kenny.
Greg Wax.
Amanda Lafty, Assistant Township Manager.
Tony Hamaday, Township Manager.
Amy Burrows, Director of Finance.
And Bill Genoway, Vice Chair Bill Genoway is not present this evening. He had a prior business arrangement that he was not able to cancel, so he wasn't able to join us this evening. Next item on the agenda, chairperson's comments. I have no comments for this evening, so we'll just dive right into the new business for the agenda. First item on the agenda is public comment about anything that is on the business agenda. So if anyone would like to come to the podium. Okay, seeing and hearing none, we'll move forward. The next item on the agenda is the presentation and the posting of the 2026 budget. I will turn the floor over to our Township Manager, Tony Hamaday, to go over the presentation of the budget.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. Thank you for the opportunity, one, to present the budget to you after our budget meeting, but also allow me to sit here.
Podium. I just want to move forward through
just to give you, as well as the general public watching, the budget process.
We went through goals and objectives and department head meetings to outline a plan forward for the budget. In September and October, we had budget meetings with the department heads, and then two budget workshops, October 23rd and just recently November 6th. Tonight is the posting, or requesting the board approve posting of the budget, and then hopefully we'll be in a position to adopt the budget on December 11th, I think, for the year 2026. Just backing up a little bit, at the November 6th budget work session, the board asked us to sharpen our pencils. At that meeting, we were looking at a $10 million difference between expenses and revenues. We have since been able to cut that down, and what we'll present tonight to you is a balanced budget. I will say that we still have work to do on reducing some of our expenditures and fine-tuning some of our numbers. With that, just some overall information with regard to the budget. If we look at our operating revenues, we've had some significant increases in revenues. Our total revenue of all three funds, $61,107,368. Where are we seeing that some significant growth? Our residential commercial real estate, we've seen about $1 million increase in revenue. Our Act 511 taxes, about $1 million. We're projecting out. We do have some new businesses that are providing incredible revenue. Netflix just opened up. We had Tommy Bahama. We have some additional businesses throughout the mall that are just providing some really good revenue. Permits and fees, we're projecting about $1 million increase in all our permits, fees, and interest income. Grants and aid, about $6.2 million. Park and Recreation, that's a $400,000 increase. One, that's attributed to some additional programs. The additional revenue for program fee increases, as well as just the amount of individuals signing up for those programs. So Dan and his staff is doing a real good job. Look at fuels. It remains the same. We've seen that drop down each month. Again, the liquid fuels is directly from the gas tax. We've started over the last probably 5 or 6 years, we were closer to $970,000. You can see we're down, over about $100,000, and that's just going to continue to dwindle. It's just based on the gas tax and then what people aren't driving or buying. With that, our operating expenses, $61,107,368. We are projecting a balanced budget here, but utilizing some fund balance to try to balance that. But I just want to throw out some key drivers, as you'll see in our operating expenses, and where our big increases are. Obviously, our big driver, salary and benefits for our three collective bargaining unions. As well as some overtime costs. And those are the things that overtime costs. So we're really going to have to fine tune and better manage that as we try to get to the a budget the board could adopt in December. Administration, 3.983612. That's about a $236,000 increase. A lot of that expense is really our transition into the cloud-based operations, as well as cleaning up some of our IT issues that we need to do to make our system secure. Police, $28,046,723, and that's about a $3.5 million increase. The big drivers there are our salary benefits as well as our pension. Fire and ambulance, this year is the first year that we've broken out fire and ambulance into two separate categories to get a better idea of what we're spending in each. If we look at fire, $5,696,978, and ambulance EMS, $4,084,716. Those combined is about a $1.6 million increase in that. Safety and codes enforcement, $1,237,000, about a $30,000 increase. Public Works, $5,805,630. It's about $660,000 increase. Main drivers there is really salaries, benefits, as well as the projects that they are looking to do. Park and Rec, $4,013,086. About a $237,000 increase. Library, Laura almost won. Mark is the lowest at $30,000, but Laura's about $50,000. Increase, 2.250379. Our debt service, that increased about $448,000 over this year for 5.142629. And that's just for the increase in debt service for the $10 million bond issue the board just approved to purchase the former Rossi tract, as well as to do the construction of the Prince Frederick Boulevard extension. And then you see liquid fuels, $845,878, stayed the same. We basically spend what we get in liquid fuels on that. All right, some operating summaries. General fund, we are balanced. Again, we're using some fund balance or reserve to balance this budget as presented to you. However, we fully expect to have those expenses reduced before the December meeting. Library fund, the library's balance, actually, they have a little surplus, a little bit of surplus, so Laura did a great job in that. And liquid fuels is balanced. Again, what I just said is whatever we get from the state is what we spend for our road program. And that ends up getting us anywhere from 7 to, depending on the road, to 11 roads each year. That also includes new handicap ramps and crosswalks in each of the roads. Sewer budget. The sewer budget is actually pretty good. There's going to be no need for an increase in rates this year. 125 miles of sewer lines, 6 million gallons of sewage treated daily at our two pump stations, Matsunk and Trout Run, and then 12 pumping stations serving 10,700 acres of watershed. So you'll see as we are projecting a $9.2 million revenue receivable, our total expenses out, $8,776,128. So the fund balance that we have, that $474,000, will go back into the sewer capital to continue our capital improvements and upgrades at the plants. Since the board has decided to keep those plants, to keep our costs low and better control and not have some outrageous price increase, we'll use that to go back into our plants. Okay, some capital budgets, and I'll expand as I read this. Total capital projects, $7,555,002. We typically do somewhere between $6.5 to $7.5 million annually in capital. So I'll highlight some of those. Technology projects, $506,900. Again, there's those cyber upgrades that we know we need. We think of ourselves as a $61 million business. We need to make sure our systems are secure. We're also going to then, in part and parcel with that, transfer or transition a lot of our in-house storage on our servers, et cetera, and some of our programs to cloud-based. Our Munis financial software, HR software, the police and CODI systems. So we want to transfer to the cloud. So we don't have to store that here. Infrastructure projects, $1,530,000. Again, that's for bridges and storm sewer projects. Mr. Hickman has five bridges varying from about $800,000, the Allendale Road pedestrian bridge, to about $40,000 from our low bridge near Tannery Drive to repair. And then we'll continue on with the sanitary sewer lining and replacement project. Public Works equipment, $854,200. It will include the purchase of a dump truck and a backhoe, as well as funding for a generator for this building. I do want to mention that in this budget, we are asking the board to put in a new special levy, which is Public Works equipment, which that levy directly funds Public Works equipment. So it's not funded by anything else and has to be used for Public Works equipment. Police equipment, $477,179. And a lot of that is leases for our tasers and body-worn cameras, message board, and then our portable radio replacement program. So, fire equipment, it doesn't look like a lot, $50,500. And this is for hose replacement, some testing equipment, and turnout gear for the new firefighters. Second set of turnout gear. Ambulance EMS equipment, $392,000, and that is for our Stryker equipment lease for all our ambulances, as well as two new medical boxes or vaults for each of the two new ambulances if they ever get here. They're a year, almost 2 years now out that we've been waiting for them. Vehicles for public safety, $1,308,372. That's our current leases. As well as new pickups and SUVs for our duty and safety chiefs for each of the stations. Community center and pool projects, $595,800. We're pretty much funding almost everything that Mr. Russell had asked for. We had a surplus in our rec fund, as well as some significant interest income from a 2017 borrowing. So he'll be doing a lot of playground upgrades, court resurfacing, and equipment, as well as finishing up the concrete work at the pool and some interior work in the bathrooms. And then wastewater and treatment plants. If you board recalls, last year we upped the capital program from 1.4 to 1.8. This year, we're projecting a 1.79040 capital budget, and that will, for both Matsunk and Trout Run, that will take care of a lot of rebuilding of our process equipment, our trickling filters, as well as our wet wells. So the board made a commitment to keep those plants. You know, we'll make sure that they continue to operate efficiently, so we don't need any significant repairs in the future. And that is the last slide. Some of the things that we still have outstanding is not shown here. If you know, I said we have two ambulances on order. We also, and the board approved the funding for a tower ladder for the fire company. We are funding that in each of these budgets. It's not due till 2009. And then next year is the last year, actually March of 27 is the last year for the SAFER grant. We have built in this budget to cover completely the cost of those 12 firefighters once the SAFER grant.
You mean 2029, not 2009?
Yeah, 2029, yes. I apologize. It was my nose. That's yes, 2029. We know that we found it's 4 years out before we get delivery. And then we will completely fund with this budget the cost going forward for the 12 firefighters hired under the SAFER grant. So we're covering that. We'll make sure. And that's what I have to present to the board. We will fine-tune everything. There's a lot of things we need to look at in terms of some operating expenses, overtime costs, and little things here and there to try to reduce the use of that fund balance and keep that for a rainy day. With that, any questions, or if I miss something that you want me to jump in on?
I wanted to make just a few comments. Mm-hmm. So just for some understanding for the public. So yep. Right now we're balancing the budget based on the fund balance, so yes. Our reserve.
Yes.
But the goal is, before we adopt the budget, to see if we can work out some more things and not have to go to the reserve.
Yes. Our goal is to try to use as little, if any, of our fund balance for that. And that's what it's for. It's to get us through or those unexpected issues.
Okay. Yeah. And I also wanted to make a comment that we're still paying for some of the repercussions left over from COVID, that it did a massacre to the budget. Yeah. And I know that we deferred so many things, and things are coming due, and we have to take care of things. Yeah. We hadn't put money aside for depreciation, maintenance, and things like that, and now things are catching up with us. So I do have that understanding.
Yeah.
I know that we're going this time with looking at special levies.
Yes.
Which I have an appreciation for special levies because I think that taxpayers have a better understanding where their tax dollars are specifically going to. So rather going to the operating budget or the general fund, the special levies are targeted for specific things that people know where their tax dollars are going to.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that that's a direction that we're going to with funding new ones and existing ones.
The existing ones, and we didn't really have to increase some of the existing levies. The two new ones, again, public works equipment, you had indicated is directly for public works equipment for the road, as well as the EMS, a new EMS levy, and that is specifically to pay for our ambulance service. So that's how we're gonna provide those services that are necessary here for our residents. They can only be used for certain things.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the things I didn't mention initially with regard to our revenues, and something that we are looking at and we are trying to fight back, is the real estate tax assessment appeals. We're still recovering financially for the most part from COVID and the after effects. That is a significant after effect of the pandemic. Every business owner is now appealing, and they're not small appeals. So we are doing our due diligence with Mr. Walker's office and the school district to make sure we push back as hard as we can so we don't lose all that revenue.
And hopefully going forward, businesses will start improving and it'll turn around and we can start getting that revenue stream back up to where it used to be.
We're hopeful. I know we look at what is happening, in the township with the new businesses coming in that are really going to help us. Even outside of the mall in some of our business parks, as we see some transition along the 202 corridor. One of the things we did see over the last year is that slowdown in land development. That plays a major impact. We typically do $90,000 worth of land development fees. We were under nine, give or take. So you saw a drastic cut off. And a lot of that has to do with interest rates being high. Nobody wants to borrow. But I think that we've got a lot of inquiries. I think we'll see a lot of things change, for the better.
And I know another thing that we dealt with this year were sinkholes. And I believe the one project on 202 across the street from, northern side of Solomon Boulevard, that was over $600,000 just for that.
Total cost. And I apologize for not bringing that up, but you hit it right on the money. Almost $800,000 total cost to repair sinkholes this year. Knock on wood, hopefully it's over. But that had to come out of reserves. We didn't budget for that. It's unexpected. And they're not insured.
And not
I think
insured.
one One, we got some equipment from for the DeKalb pump station, the generator, I think, was covered with the sinkhole there. But yeah, so that came out of our reserves.
Out of the reserves.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me turn the floor over to the supervisors then. Do you want to start?
No, I'm dropping. Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't really have that much to add. Obviously, we will see more, and the public will see more at the December business meeting. Really just one sentence, and that is, inflation's a killer. I mean, it really is. As you heard our manager describe, revenue is up in many categories. Well, why is revenue up and our expenses up even more? Well, the price of certain things has gone up dramatically, and the township needs, you know, capital equipment and needs to pay for things. And you know, we all see what's going on in the country in regards to inflation, especially as Chair Garzillo correctly mentioned, post-COVID. So obviously there's more work to do. Obviously we don't want to use money from the reserve, but obviously there's also going to be a tax increase of some kind. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. I just want to point out a few things, which may or may not be things that people are thinking of, but you've mentioned that this is the after effects of COVID. And that's not being used as an excuse. We know that a lot of people are still working from home, and that's why so many of our office buildings are empty. They remain empty, not at full capacity. But we have started to fill them up again, and that's been a good thing. As far as the mall goes, we still have Penny's that's empty, but we did fill in Lord & Taylor with Netflix. So that's a positive step. We, I believe, may have someone coming into the Penny's, but I'm not going to jinx it and say anything about that. But that'll be another plus. If we look around to other malls, you look at Exton, you look at Springfield in Delaware County, these are malls that have not survived. So we are really lucky to have the mall that we do and to have the confidence in other businesses that are still coming to our mall and to other buildings in Upper Merion. We have a variety of places there as well now. It's not just stores, it's, you know, other types of businesses. We also, someone mentioned, I think, that we have tax assessment appeals. And the reason we have the appeals is because the value of the perceived value of their land is lower, and therefore they've asked us to lower their taxes based on the value of their properties. Hopefully that will turn around. If you look at any kind of a chart, for any time, any 10, 20, 50 years, the chart always goes up. If I'm going backwards, it's going up this way. If you're watching me in time, there's valleys and peaks, but it's always an upward motion. I think that's just about it. One other thing that I'm glad you pointed out, that there's no increase in sewer charges at all. I also want to remind people that we did have no increase last year in our taxes for the township. And we do what we can to keep taxes low. We have to provide services, especially public safety services that so many people depend on, and whether you know it or not. You'd never know when you personally are going to expect it, but we have lots of people who come into this township every day, thousands of people, and those people sometimes are dependent on our ambulances and our first responders. So I hate to do anything that implies that we are going to have to raise taxes or over the past 14 years, I believe, we've only raised taxes, I think, 3 out of those 14 years, or 4 out of the 14 years. So we have a very good track record of trying to do our best to keep our taxes low, and I believe they still will be, if not the lowest, among the very lowest in Montgomery County. And we all live here too, so nobody wants to pay any more taxes than we have to either.
Yep.
We have skin in this game.
Yep. Mr. Phillips, before you speak, can I just add something specifically in relation to something Supervisor Kenny said?
Sure.
Because she was talking about municipal taxes elsewhere. I do want to point out we are the still one of the very few municipalities without an earned income tax. On top of that, the way a lot of other municipalities have avoided tax increases is they've sold off their sewer treatment plants. The result of that is that they've wound up having massive increases in their water bills, which their sewer bills, pardon me, I apologize, their sewer bills, which we have not had in Upper Marion Township because we made the decision not to sell anything in that regard. Thank you, and thanks for allowing me to jump back in.
Yeah, no, I'll just jump on that part because I'm a municipal sewer authority solicitor. One of the things that we should be very proud of is the fact that even our sewer rates here are extremely low. They're not necessarily the lowest. They're not the highest, but you're somewhere in the lower to mid-range. But when you compare what you're paying here on an every six-month basis in an annual basis to what folks in Limerick or West Pottsgrove are paying, both on taxes and sewer rentals and water rentals, it's astronomical what they're paying in other parts of this county. I just want to make a couple comments. One is I commend the staff and Ms. Browse for the really hard work. It is extremely difficult to balance the needs of all the departments. You have a very busy and a very proactive township. When we talk about the specific levies for things like EMS equipment and public works, dump trucks are expensive. Ambulances are expensive. The ladder truck, the tower truck that we have looked for is what? In the order of $1.4 million. And that's not even going to be here for 4 years. It is very difficult to keep all the moving parts together. This budget, even though we are looking at reserves, I'm pretty confident that we will be able to make up the reserve part of that with everything that goes on in this township on an annual basis. We know that even our EMS, we are extremely busy. Multiple calls every day for our ambulance service. And now that we have an ambulance where, you have a CAT scan machine in it and can really help you with the neuro brain functions and people who are having strokes, we're gonna see an increase in our return on what we're billing for Medicare and Medicaid. So we are very good at that. The staff here, and I'm sure a lot of people will kind of poo-poo this, but they're extremely efficient for what they've got. The one thing that I have had conversations with staff about is it doesn't really reflect what we're going to do in 10 years. We know that this building here was built in circa end of the 80s. It had been here previously, but it underwent a major renovation at that time. Well, look, that's over 40 years old. So, we're doing a lot with what we got. We know that some of the systems here are failing and we continue to repair them and keep things up, but it's just not the same. We know the library has outgrown its space. We know that the police staff have outgrown their space. And right now there's just absolutely nowhere to go. So really want to thank you guys for the hard work you're doing. It's not easy. There are some tough decisions that will need to be made continuing going forward, but I'm pretty sure we're all going to get there. And at the end of the day, even though my taxes or my levies may go up, I can still say with confidence that we're going to be one of the lowest in the county. And frankly, if you've kept it up to date in the paper, I think the county has looked at, what, a 4.5% increase in their tax, something on that line. So, it unfortunately, inflation is a killer, as Supervisor Wack said. It's just a fact of life. We see it in the grocery store. Every time you go to buy food for your family, you see it at the pump. You know, the tariffs have not helped anybody, so I'm pretty confident that we'll weather the storm and kind of get through this and hopefully come out on the other side with a plan for future growth and continue to have a community that we can provide the services to at the level of service that we're providing well into the future. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I also wanted to express, I was going to end with that, the tailcoat from the end of your comments about just an appreciation to the staff, the directors, our township manager, our finance director, that we sat in on those meetings and we knew they were difficult. So the directors aren't just willy-nilly spending money for the township, that these are things that they know, services they provide to the residents and businesses, things that we need in the township, infrastructure demands, and they know what they need in their departments, and it's hard to tell them no. And it's hard to say, there's not money for you in this project and we have to defer again, or wait and see if we can get some grant money, and putting them off. That this isn't personal funds that they're just wanting to spend. This is stuff for the township. These are needs that we have. And those meetings are difficult, and we appreciate all the time and the effort that you spent working through the numbers, sharpening the pencils over and over, and I know we're not quite there yet, we're almost there, but I just wanted to express appreciation for all the staff members and what they've been doing and will continue to do for the community.
I thank you for that. I think it's clear that you see that the staff and the department heads do know that they have to provide a decent, good on-spot budget. And you can see that just with, you know, Ms. Arnold and Mr. Zadroga, $30,000, $50,000 over last year. Everybody is sharpening their pencil. I think we still have a little nudge here and there to get them to get a little sharper, but they understand that everybody's competing for the same dollars. So, and they appreciate your support as well, because you do entertain what they want for the good of the township.
Yes, thank you. Any additional comments that someone would like to make? Okay.
So, thank you. Oh, yeah, the budget will then be posted in the library and online tonight. Yeah.
Okay. So the public then?
So they're full review, yeah.
Okay.
Library's not open, but it'll be, after this meeting, it'll be posted to the website.
Okay, appreciate that. Okay, we'll move along in our budget then. I mean, we'll move along in the agenda. Budget's on the brain. 6C, KOP Bid Recharge Park Project, approval of payment application one in the amount of $45,242.73 to Patriot Grounds and Site Services of King of Prussia, Pennsylvania for contract services completed to date as recommended by the landscape architect.
Mike.
I'll second.
Any comments about this?
I just want to say this is not a payment that the township will make. We took out the grant funding or the grant, but the King of Prussia bid will be making that payment through the grant fund. So this isn't coming out of our bills, our bills.
Okay. Yeah. We're in a position to take a vote on this. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 4-0. Next item on the agenda, 6D, Resolution 2025-35, approve a statewide local share assessment grant of $350,000 from the Commonwealth Financing Authority to be used for public works facility renovations.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second that motion.
Any discussion or comments about this item?
Yeah, I'd like to make one comment about the LSA grant. So it's just so the folks at home understand, the local shares account grant are essentially funds that are gathered by the Commonwealth from horse racing. And unlike some of the other grant opportunities that we have, and I really encourage staff to kind of go after as many of these LSA grants as we possibly can, this does not require the township to match any funds that we would be awarded. This is straight up grant money that we can use, and we can get up to $1 million. So this is a project that we certainly want to kind of go after, and appreciate the staff taking this to heart and moving it forward. Thank you.
Anything else? We're positioned to take a vote on this. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 4-0. Next item, 6E, financial escrow security release, which is the final release for Chick-fil-A redevelopment, 135 West DeKalb Pike. Approval of final escrow release for the completion of required site improvements to date as part of the land development project as recommended by the township engineer. May I entertain a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion made by Supervisor Wax, second by Supervisor Kelly and Kenny.
Oh my word, that resurfaced. Oh,
wow. Where did that come from?
That, wow.
What?
I caught it.
What
was
she saying?
Wow.
Carol didn't catch it, though.
Carol didn't.
I didn't catch it.
I could have just gone right through that one. Any discussion on this item? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 4-0. Okay, next item on the agenda is additional business. Anyone have any additional business?
The only thing I have is happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Likewise.
Yes.
Happy. Same here.
Yes. Ditto. We did that last week, so yes.
Well, yeah,
we're closer now. We should have waited till tonight, right? And the stuffing and the gravy. Okay. Now is the opportunity for anyone from the public to come forward to the podium if you would have like to make any public comment. Please identify yourself. And are you an Upper Marion resident?
Okay. Hi, my name is Nicole Stone, and I've been a resident of Upper Marion for 25 years now. And I'm here this evening to advocate, again, for a welcoming policy in the township and for it to be codified into a binding ordinance or resolution to help keep our community a safe place for all residents, regardless of their skin color or immigration status. As you know, over 19% of Upper Marion residents are foreign-born. And according to the data from our latest census, and these people are family, friends, and neighbors. And they deserve to live in peace and to have due process as guaranteed to all people living in this country, regardless of their immigration status. Since late May, we've had over 60 people taken from Montgomery County, and at least two people actually in Upper Marion Township at the District Taco, I think, and then at an apartment complex. We also know that ICE has been at Tech Tube. They didn't take anyone, but they were at the building and checking it out, which they do sometimes prior to coming and taking people. They do so by, or while they do so, they refuse to identify who they are, and they violate the Fifth Amendment of the United States by ignoring procedural and substantive due process. And our residents need to have a binding policy to that our township employees are not cooperating with ICE beyond what is required by law. And I understand you can't do everything and can't fix the world. I wish you could, but certainly there are things that can be done. And as I had stated in the letter that I sent in September and also last month on the 16th when I attended the township meeting, I think there's several proposals that we can make that can make our residents feel safer and more comfortable living here and knowing where this country is at the moment. So there's a couple things by preventing our township employees from cooperating with the federal law enforcement unless they have a properly executed judicial warrant, and preventing the collection and sharing of information's residence status unless it is legally necessary, and limiting non-public township facilities to ensure safety and protect sensitive information of our residents, and prohibit the deputization of any law enforcement personnel as federal agents. And then finally, communication, I think, is also really important with our township staff, as well as with the community, to let them know what's happening. I know there are some townships and that have policies, but they don't want to make them public. And I think that that's something that's really important for the people in our township, given the high rate of immigrant community that we have. I think it's very important that they know that their government is doing what they can to help protect them. And so with that, I certainly respect the what the board can and can't do, and I would just request that you continue to evaluate what can be done, and we'll continue to work with you and happy to meet with you, as well as the police chief. We have that in progress. We have not done that yet. I know it was something that we promised that we would do, and we are planning to do that. And with that, I just want to make one more comment that I really appreciate the nice discussion back and forth on the budget. I know in my work, I often am presenting my budgets, and my management is not always as nice and appreciative of all of the scrubbing and all of the, you know, really painstaking work that that goes into balancing a budget. So I just wanted to acknowledge that and thank you.
You weren't in the actual meetings.
I was not, no. But even at the, you know, at the main meetings, you know, they're not always so nice. So thank you. I appreciate that.
And thank you for your comment, public comments. And I remember you being in the meeting before.
Yeah.
And I will just reiterate, you mentioned about meeting with our police chief.
Absolutely.
Lately.
I mean, that's not.
I'd reached out to him and asked.
Okay.
And I knew that no one had reached out to me yet. So please do that.
Yeah.
And I think
We're just making sure we've got the right people. We want to make sure that we have as productive a meeting as possible.
And if you wanted to initiate contact with him, you could do it by email to start that. And his it's first initial, last name. So BLEIS.
Okay.
Blaine Lease at umtownship.org.
Okay. Awesome. Yep. We'll definitely do so. But I think it's not just the police, right? I think it's broader than the police.
Oh, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
You know, so that's why we felt it was important to still come here, even though we had not had that conversation.
Okay.
We just want you to know we still believe and are still very passionate.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your comments.
Yep.
Hi, good evening. My name is Lou Pillow, and I am also an over 20-year resident of Upper Marion. I'm also going to rise to talk about the enactment of a potential welcoming policy for Upper Marion. Nicole alluded to District Taco, and this is the kind of thing that goes on. On Thursday, the 31st of July, at District Taco, four plainclothes immigration agents abducted 23-year-old Andres Paredes Morales while he was working at the restaurant. So in a few minutes, he had been taken away. He's probably now at the Moshannon Detention Center in the middle of Pennsylvania, one of the worst facilities in the country. He is a Venezuelan who immigrated in 2024. He obtained a work authorization permit. It expires in May of next year. He has no criminal record in the U.S. or in Venezuela. He migrated to the U.S. for a better life and to get away from the violence and government corruption in Venezuela. This is not the only story. There are many more. So these kinds of activities are being carried out here right in Upper Marion with our immigrant neighbors, whisking people away who are here legally without due process. And this is anathema to our way of life, to the Constitution. And so in the face of such blatant overreach by these people, these agents of this government, we need a clear statement that Upper Marion will reject such behavior and won't aid or abet these activities in any way. In addition, such a statement would serve as a model and support for other Montgomery County townships and boroughs. So I hope you will give it serious consideration. Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the public who would like to come forward to make a statement?
Melanie Sitchik, Upper Marion resident. I know you all have been knowing about the data center that's been proposed over in Plymouth Meeting. So something that a lot of people don't really think about with data centers is the decibel levels that come with it and all like the generation. And I was saying, I was doing a bunch of research because I had been attending those meetings just to learn about the development of it. It is stalled currently, but learning about the decibel levels of it, the noise of those data centers can travel up to 3 miles, and that would impact our township because we live, the Swedland neighborhood is about a half a mile away from the proposed site. So I don't know if there's anything we can do in collaboration with that township, the Plymouth Meeting one, to kind of like collaborate with something that like that, since that would affect residents in this township.
Okay, thank you. Tony, maybe I don't know if we could just stay on top of what's the progress of what is happening in Conshohocken.
Yes.
Other than that, I'm not sure.
We are monitoring what is happening with Plymouth Township and the developer who wants to put that in. We do believe that they withdrew, I think for some procedural issues, the zoning application before Plymouth. I will say that in December 4th, the board will have a zoning workshop, which data centers will be on that to continue discussion. So, but we are monitoring those.
But that data center is for our ordinance as opposed to. So just so you're clear, and maybe you want to talk with Mr. Walco about this. Since we are a neighboring municipality to Conshohocken, you can request in a zoning matter, you can request status and standing to oppose. It's not as clear cut in zoning as it is in SALDO and land development. Yep. But if it comes to the point where, we're not seeing things that are advantageous to us, it may behoove us to kind of go down that road.
Yep. And I think we know who the solicitor is, even West Conshohocken, and so we can be apprised of what's going on there, Mr. Walker's firm. And I'll make sure that we get in contact with Conshohocken and even Plymouth, see what's going on. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else from the public would like to come forward? Okay. Hearing and seeing none, I think we're in a position for adjournment. Motion to adjourn. Second. He just did. It was like a second. All in favor of adjournment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.